Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come here and learn about you and to worship you. We thank you for all who are here today. I pray that you'd help with the school requests as they're on spring break and trying to get ahead on their work or finish something up or get ready for a presentation. Pray for the one who's, well, there's two looking for a job now. Pray for the one who's also finishing PhD, dissertation and such. Just pray that you'd give him safe travels as he goes in interviews and that he will find the right job at the right time to honor you and be in the right place to serve you. Help us this morning to learn what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's everybody's day.
I am.
We're going to eat food and play games this afternoon. You going to stay?
I might not. I have to call my grandma.
I just
want
to go home.
No. We
want to
stay for any sweet potato fries.
I didn't know they were sweet potato fries. I love sweet potato fries.
Wasn't that on Facebook? Oh, no, you said
I think
it.
I just told you in person.
I just remember hearing Betty Burgers and French fries that I didn't hear. I love
sweet potatoes. Of course, they brought the salad dressing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you remember in the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about a passion for God's perfect will. And last week we started a passion for God's perfect will, part two. This is not one of those Charlie Sheen second run movies. Not at all. This is part two of a two-part important lesson, right? So we won't take anything away from it by calling it part two.
Charlie Sheen movies, but
Hot Shots.
I don't know much about Charlie Sheen other than Tiger's Blood and Winning.
Tiger.
Which was like 2011 or something like that.
No, this was 90s. This was really, really old.
It's pretty old.
Wait, what movie was it?
Wow. I got a real reaction here.
I'm picturing Saddam Hussein with his tan lines, that's all I'll say.
It's all right, you can look it up later, Steve.
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 Oh. I don't need to look it up. He was the one that asked.
Yeah. No, I know, but you asked about what movie it was.
Oh,
she
yeah.
said what part she was laughing about, and I said you could look it up later.
What was the name of the movie, though?
Hot Shots Part 2.
Part 2?
It's French for 2.
Yeah, like D-U-E. Like.
D-U-E-X.
Yeah. It's all right. It has nothing to do with the lesson. Hot Shots Part 2 is not part of the lesson. A Passion for God's Perfect Will Part 2. If you remember our story in Genesis 24, actually, let me just read it again. Genesis 24, verses 12 through 15, it says, "And he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels to drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." This is the original biblical dating service. You send the servant to the well. No, this only happens one time in the Bible.
I was like, wait.
It's so easy, though. Yeah. It's so easy to find a wife that way.
In this case, it was. And what made it... Well, and that's what we talked about last week. What made it easy for them to find a wife for Isaac this way? So first of all, Isaac is not there. Isaac probably knows that Eliezer's been sent to see if he can find him a wife. Doesn't know how long it's going to take. Doesn't know when he's coming back. Right? Nothing. So Isaac's barely involved. Who's involved here? God. Who else? Abraham? Abraham said, my son's sad because his mama died. I want to cheer him up. I know he needs a wife. So he sent the servant to go get him a wife. The servant did what that was wise? The servant immediately turned to Match.com.
Oh.
No, he turned to God. Absolutely and completely said, okay, God, I made it to the outskirts of the city, and there's a well here. See what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch. And when the women come out, I'll ask them for a drink. And if one of them offers to give me a drink and my camel a drink too, and remember, camels were the original water storage device, right? Camels had humps. They could drink a whole bunch of water. So offering to give the camels a drink of water was kind of a big task. So he said, I'll just sit here and wait for someone to volunteer to do a whole bunch of work for some guy they never met. That would have to be of God, right?
That's legit.
So immediately...
And she had to be from the right family.
And she had to be from the right family. So immediately, Eliezer turned it over to God. Then, Rebecca came, and she offered, she came immediately while he was yet praying. She gave him a drink, offered the camels a drink, gave them a drink, took Eliezer back. He said, can I come and stay with your family tonight? I need a place to stay. She said yes. She introduced him to the family. He told the family what he's there for. They all, what did they do? They involved God. We read the verses. They prayed about it. They asked God, what should she do? She prayed about it. When they all got back together the next day, they said, yep, you should go be Isaac's wife now. It's God's will. This was simple. This was a lot easier than finding a wife is, or finding a husband would be, in today's methods of doing it, right? They had something going on in Bible times that was just great. They could do this. How'd Mary and Joseph get together? Their parents promised them to each other, and then when they got old enough, they were like, okay, here you go. That was it. Right? Now, it was a lot of fun finding my wife and convincing her that she wanted to marry me. It was great. We enjoyed that time. We loved looking back on when we were dating. But in Bible times, you were betrothed, and then you were brought together and said, okay, get married. Then you could do all that learning about each other after you were married. That could be fun, too.
Some places still do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, lots of countries still do that.
India.
The difference is they don't have this whole perception of, an idealized perception of what marriage should be like we do here. We think it should all be this one certain wonderful way, and then when it's inevitably not that way, people are deeply disappointed. And that's when they're satisfied and divorced, and because they meet their expectations, and I think the expectations are different when you do it this way. You expect there to be, oh, this is new, this is different. We don't know what we're doing yet, you know. Different.
So we talked about different things about God's will. I'll try to hit the super high points from last week. If I can turn the page. So we said God's will. Last week we said God's will involves being in God's way. So you got to involve God, be close to God. We said if you're holding God's hand, you don't have to wait for him to lead you so you know where to take the next step. You just keep walking right next to him. When I'm holding one of my little boy's hands and I'm walking through the mall or down the sidewalk or whatever, I don't have to tell him, okay, we're going to turn right here. I just go, and they just go with me. It just flows. When you're close enough to God, it'll just flow. Then we said God's will sometimes involves seasons of silence. Sometimes you have to wait. Eliezer was prepared to wait. He said, okay, God, I'm sitting here by the well, ready when you are. He was prepared to wait. He brought camels. He didn't bring horses or mules. They have to drink all the time. Right? He brought camels. They go a while before a drink. Ready to wait, Lord. Ready when you are. Didn't have to wait.
What were the first two lines?
A was...
I mean, I need number one, an awesome love story of God's...
leading. And then A is God's will involves being in God's way, and B is God's will sometimes involves seasons of silence. And then for today, we're on God's will requires a listening heart. And we have here five, one, two, maybe more. We have at least five different ways that God speaks to us. Number one, first and foremost, is through his word. Right? We're not Moses. We're not going to get a burning bush. We're not the prophet whose donkey's going to talk to him. Remember that story? We don't have those kinds of revelations anymore because we have God's complete word. We have our Bibles. The first way he speaks is through God's word, his word, and it is the litmus test. We'll come back to that. For everything else we think is God speaking. Okay? Another way he speaks is through godly authority. My kids have parents. Their parents don't let them plug their fingers into the outlet or jump in the pool on a really cold day, or there's all kinds of things we won't let them do. They are under our authority. God placed them under our authority. God gave us an incredible love for them, which makes us want to do things for them, like not let them plug themselves into the outlet, right? But when we're under godly authority, that's one way he speaks to us. Another way he speaks is through circumstances. Eliezer was there where God wanted him to be, and Rebecca was where her family was, and they were talking to God, and then the circumstances, are you ready for this, fell into place. It was just an accident. Kind of like the world was created by the Big Bang. You know, God said bang, and there it was. There are no accidents. God created everything by a blueprint. God put all the stars in the sky the way he did, so that at different times and different seasons, the stars or the planets line up in a way that symbolizes things for us according to his word and his plan. Like leading the wise men to Mary and Joseph, where they were. Not where the baby was born, but where they were. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. God's will speaks through his still small voice within. So when you're really in God's will and you're reading your Bible and you're praying, and by the way, guys, communicating with God is two-way communication. Just like all other forms of communication should ideally be, communicating with God is two ways. You should be reading your Bible and praying, but you should also be quiet and listening, right? Reading your Bible, he can speak to you. Praying, you can speak to him and ask him things. But if you've read your Bible and you've prayed and you still don't see it, what if you just stopped and were quiet for a few minutes? You thought about what you read, and maybe prayed a little more and thought about what you read, and you were quiet. He does have the still small voice. Now, it's not something you hear in your ears. It's more something you hear in your heart. But another way he speaks to you is his still small voice within.
Not all forms of communication are too bad.
I said they should be.
They can't all be. But we can discuss that later.
Then he speaks through godly counsel. You know people at church who will counsel you. Sometimes you know people who are outside the church that are still godly that can counsel you. Like, I know other people in Tucson who I could call for advice if I need to that are not necessarily church members here, but they can provide godly counsel. Let's circle back to God's word is the litmus test for all other speaking. Right? If just because you can find a pastor here in town who likes to drink, doesn't mean you can go get drunk when you want to. Because God's word still says, be not drunk with wine. So then you have to question that pastor that just told you it's okay to go do that kind of thing. Is that truly godly counsel? It doesn't pass the litmus test. Excuse me. All right. Next is establishing a biblical decision process. Turn to Psalms 37. It's interesting that for pastors' messages right now, we're in Psalms.
I'm going to use the bathroom.
It's to the left of 119.
We got some godly counsel going on there.
Psalms.
It's interesting that Pastor's doing a lot of things out of Psalms right now, and our focus is Psalms. And then everything we're studying, you can find just about anything in Psalms. Psalm 37 starts off, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious because of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass."
And the child grew and waxed strong.
What do we see as the theme here to get this, give thee the desires of thine heart, thou shalt be fed?
Being obedient, trusting, being faithful.
Obedience, trusting, faithfulness, being close to the Lord, resting in the Lord. Having home is a great thing. When you've been here at college for a while, you've got your apartment or your dorm room or whatever when you're at college, but it's nice to be able to go home, right? Whether it's mom and dad's home or whether it's where you lived for many years with friends or roommates or whatever, home is a nice place to have. This says rest in the Lord. That should be your true home, right? You should have an earthly home, but you should have a spiritual home as well. You should be able to retreat with your Bible and prayer and feel very comforted and restful and at home with the Lord. That's how to know God's will and how to have a biblical decision process. That's Roman numeral 2 in the book of CA. Establishing a biblical decision process. If you were to take a class on making decisions, there's lots of methodologies out there taught in the world today. One of the popular ones is flip a coin.
That'll be my bracket for the March Madness.
Another way of making decisions is to list out the pros and cons. What's the problem with the pros and cons? You made
everything's everything's biased.
Biased, perfect. You looked at decision A and decision B, and you said, "Well, if I decide to go over here, I get all these things." That's another decision-making process, yes. The problem with pros and cons is the same thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago, like our imaginations. In your imagination, it's not real. It's always better than reality when you imagine it, right?
Seriously, no imagining why it's better than
the I'm not saying that at all. You can decide between a couple of rough deals here, Florida at the beach or Hawaii at the beach, right?
Yeah, but one so has volcanoes and earthquakes and one doesn't.
And one has...
The other one has hurricanes.
I was going to say hurricanes.
They both have hurricanes.
Well,
they're not called hurricanes in Hawaii.
Yeah, one of them's a typhoon and the other one's a hurricane.
Still the same type of storm, but it's just got different names.
You know. Well,
they spin backwards compared to the other ones.
But they can spin both directions. Spin gives it either a male or female name.
I didn't know that.
Depending on its direction, it gives a male or female name.
I didn't
We're learning new things.
I'm very good at trivia games.
So is Jeremiah.
Yes. When you use the pros and the cons method, the pros are, "Well, I think it'll be great because of this," and the cons are, "Well, I think it'll be great because of this." When you're listing out pros and cons to make a decision, how many people go and get outside objective opinions to make their pros and cons list? People don't do that.
Even though that's what you're supposed to do in order to...
That would be the right way to do pros and cons.
Because if you're, like we said earlier, it's just all bias opinion if you do it yourself.
We did that on Friends, and it did not end up very well. We did that on Friends. I do not have the angles.
Another way to make decisions that's very popular is the I guess method. Oh, do you want the Rocky Road or the Hot Fudge Sundae? Well, I guess I'll have the Rocky Road. And then you break your tooth on a frozen peanut. Well, I guess you made the wrong choice.
It's pretty frozen.
Yeah, well, I'm just making stuff up.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. There's another way to make a decision. Well, let's try this. Well, that didn't work. Let's go try this. Well, that didn't work. Now we don't have enough resources left to do anything else. Trial and error doesn't work out well either. God doesn't want you to guess. He does not want you to do pros and cons. He does not even want you to flip a coin. Now, could you argue theologically and correctly that if you were to flip a coin, God could decide whether it lands heads or tails?
Yeah.
You
could. Depends on if you prayed it up. God, this is how I make my choice. You could say,
okay, God, I'm going to flip the coin, make it be what you want it to be.
People
you could say
that. Not with a coin, but with other things. They absolutely did. Just like
put out a fleece.
Well, it's just like what Eliezer just did. He said, God, this person has to do these things. That would be like saying, God, it needs to be heads.
But Eliezer was, to your point, close to God.
Yes.
Eliezer was praying about it. Eliezer set it up to be what God wanted it to be. And then he said, okay, God, since I don't get emails from you anymore that has it in writing with an electronic signature on it, I'm going to go ahead and set up my own kind of a test to make sure I pick the right one down here and don't follow off the wrong girl to the wrong house and marry Isaac off to the wrong person, right? He set it up so that God was in control of it. You could choose to try to do something like that with a coin toss. However, the concept is you have to have yourself in God's will, close to God, praying, reading your Bible, right? Like we said earlier, you don't have to worry about which way to go if you're just holding God's hand. When he goes right, you'll go right. When he goes left, you'll go left. When he stops, you'll stop. When he takes rest, you'll take rest in him. When we have a long day and we're tired, where do the kids land? Right there. They get tired, they come snuggle up with her. Or if I'm there and she's not, they'll come snuggle up with me. We were having trouble with Joel last night, and he's just now 3. And we were working on this and working on that, and she asked me a question about his nap. Because she was actually teaching a class during his nap, and I was up trying to get him to go back to sleep, and he wouldn't. So I finally brought him back down, and she didn't know how long he slept. And when I told her how long or thought he slept or when he got up, she said, oh, so he's tired. And it was like a switch. Joel went, oh, I'm not cranky or unhappy or upset. I'm just tired. And Mom said, we'll put you to bed in just a minute. And he said, okay. And he was pretty happy after that. Because Mom was there. She was going to read him a story and sing with him like we always do and put him to bed. And he's like, oh, I don't have a problem. I'm just tired and I'm going to bed now. So it's all good.
I thought it was because he wanted to hang out with me.
They did. They wanted to hang out with you.
This morning when he got up, the first thing he said, he's rubbing his eyes. Brother, are you still here watching the football movie?
Football movie?
You know, basketball game, football movie. Similar.
My favorite part was like, my name is Joel. My real name is Joel. I'm like, what do you think I've been calling you? Like, I'm going to leave now. That's what he said.
Yeah. God wants your decisions to be made while you're close to him and listening to him. The decisions you make while you're reading your Bible and praying and trying to be close to God will always be more beneficial to you than the decisions you make while flipping a coin, getting drunk with the pastor who said it was okay to get drunk. Right? That's never going to work out good. Right? God's decisions are backed by solid truth, verifiable leading, and confirmed proof that you're doing his will.
What if we make our pro and con list based off of what we know biblically, what would be more honoring to God?
Then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're close to God. I absolutely think you're trying to decide between, potentially decide between two jobs. You're assuming that if they're going to fly you out to these universities and interview you for a whole day and pay for your plane tickets and all this, that they're pretty seriously considering offering you a job. So you're thinking it's possible you'll get two job offers. And I think that's very possible. I'm not saying it's not possible in any way. So you're trying to decide to say, how do I know which one to go to? Well, for the sake of the lesson, you really ought to be praying about this. Okay? I happen to know that you are praying about this because you're constantly telling us and texting us and such and saying, pray with me about this and pray for this and pray for this, and I have an interview here and I have a phone interview there and I have Skype here. And right, I know you're praying about it. But for the sake of the lesson, I wouldn't go make a pros and cons list and then say, okay, God bless this list, unless I had already been praying about it and trying to decide and reading my Bible and studying and looking for church.
Can't be based on feelings.
No. I like Hawaii, so I want to go there. I mean, obviously. Absolutely. Who wouldn't? Right? That sounds great.
My grandma said that the water is like really clear over there.
He's been a couple of times, I think.
No, just I've been to Florida a bunch of times, but FaceTime with
me on the beach. I've never been to eat that.
I think that's called rubbing it in, but okay.
Draining. It rains there a lot too.
It does. Yeah, it rained when we were there quite a bit.
Doesn't it rain basically like every day in the afternoon or something?
Yeah.
It's just part of the climate there.
Where, Florida or Hawaii?
But the temperature in Hawaii ranges, average temperature between like 80 and 89
every day. So it's always going to be nice at some point, but it often does rain too.
That'd be awesome because I like going out in the rain. The only problem is over here, it gets... There's a real bad pressure drop because we live in a bowl, and it gets really cold
when it rains. Yeah.
Every time it rains.
Yeah, that's annoying too.
I like lightning.
It's shocking experience.
All right, one more point. Every right decision in your life will be questioned by Satan and tested by circumstances. Well-made decisions withstand these tests like gold withstands fire. What happens when you put gold in a fire?
It melts eventually, but...
It melts. What else happens? How does it purify?
Because it separates, because gold is a different... they literally just separate, kind of like how when you put oil and water in together,
they
you
separate,
can shake
right.
it up, and, but eventually it still separates.
Yeah, you let it set and it'll separate. When you try gold by fire, the gold separates from the dross. And what happens to the dross when it touches the fire?
It
burns up. So when you're done, you still have all the actual gold that was there, even though the quantity of metal might be a little less. But since the bad stuff burned off, the gold is more what?
Pure.
So this says, every right decision in your life will be immediately, no, it doesn't say immediately, will be questioned by Satan and tested by circumstances. So think about that. Just because you made the right decision doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Being a Christian in this world is definitely not always going to be easy. But if you're in God's will, you'll have His protection and His provision, and it will work out. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Are you ready for this? There's a condition. To them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So if you're saved and you love God, and what does the Bible say loving God is? If you love me,
keep my commandments.
So if you're living in God's will according to His commandments, that's loving Him, and you're saved, because some people try to live according to God's will and keep His commandments without being saved, right? But if you're both saved and trying to keep His commandments, loving Him, then you'll make the right decisions, and God says it will work out for you. All right, let's take a memory verse. Psalm 37. Let's do 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And then if you want a bonus, add verse 4 to it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Psalm 23, what?
Psalm 37:34. So verse 3 is the required memory verse. Verse 4 is what, extra point?
So it's 37:3.
Uh-huh. 4 is bonus.
Julie also wants to add 5 for bonus.
But I can't do 4 without 5. Which is...
So I'll just put 37:3 in your head.
Yep.
So
that'd be a double bonus. Well,
you get a high five.
How about that'll help cover you if you miss a verse or you miss attending on a Sunday? I will see that you're serious about this, and it will help.
So you should say all those verses. 37:3-5.
It's easy for me. I could have assigned 1-7 or 1-8 because my parents made me memorize that when I was really little, so I remember most of it.
I remember in the team class, we had to study a whole chapter of time.
Pastor has us doing that right now. We did Psalm 121, and then we did Psalm 1, and now we're doing Psalm 92, 12-15.
We did the whole chapter.
I had to do that when I was a kid, memorize that.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, are any of you his friends on Facebook? You add him to the page.
Okay. The verse that you posted.
Yeah,
she put the verse, but yeah, we have a Facebook page for the class so that we can disseminate information. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could worship you. We thank you that we can have curriculum in your word and godly counsel and all these things so we can study how to make right decisions. Pray that you'd help us as we go forward, and several in the class have big decisions to make, that you would be with them and give them wisdom and direction. Help us to have a good day serving you and a good activity after the morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.